If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com. Hi, friend. You're listening to the Teas Made podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm Megan Francis, a writer and a midlife mom of five living in Michigan. In this podcast, we'll talk about some of my favorite things like books, creativity, outdoor adventure, and of course, warm beverages. And I'll share practices that can help you infuse your home, work, and family life with a sense of intention, comfort, and connection. The tea's made, so settle in, get comfortable, and let's chat. Hi, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Teas Made podcast. So last week, my friend Sarah Powers and I celebrated our 9th birthday of publishing the Mom Hour podcast. The Mom Hour has been in constant publication now for 9 years, and I'm talking no publishing hiatuses. We have been putting out an episode at least every Tuesday, and for several years, we were maintaining more like 6 or 7 episodes in a typical month. We've backed off of that a little bit, but we're still publishing really regularly. And what you might not know is that before the Mom Hour even launched in 2015, I had already been consistently publishing other podcasts like The Kitchen Hour, The Home Hour, and The Style Hour, which were in publication from around 2012 to about 2015 when I decided to really focus on the Mom Hour. I also hosted the Mother of Reinvention show from 2021 to 2023. And of course, now I host The Teas Made, which you're listening to right now. So I have recorded many hours of podcast content in my life, probably more like 1,000 if you add up all that time. And I've learned quite a few things about the business of podcasting, the trends around podcasting, and just what a podcasting lifestyle can look like from these very different kinds of podcast formats and business structures. So in today's episode, I'm going to be sharing some of the things I've learned about podcasting along the way. So I'm hoping that whether you're an aspiring podcaster or just a podcast enthusiast, that you're going to find some of what I'm going to share inspiring, surprising, or at least interesting. Okay, so before I jump into the things I've learned, I did want to share that I'm recording this episode from the guest room in my Aunt Paula's house, where I have been for the past few days, helping her get ready to move from the Chicago suburbs to Florida. It is a big deal for our family. Each of my parents have been gone for quite a few years now, and we don't have a lot of elder relatives left. And my Aunt Paula has lived in the Chicago area my entire life. She's always been this constant nearby presence, and very soon she's going to be leaving. It's a big change for all of us, especially my aunt, who is also dealing with a lot of health challenges right now. I wrote a little bit more about it on my blog at Substack. That's at meganfrancis.substack.com. And I'll also link it up in the show notes if you want to check it out. But the upshot and how this relates to today's episode is that it's been really great to be able to set aside some other things I had going on to be present for this process. And it's just one of the times I have been so grateful for the fact that I'm a podcaster, that this is what I do for a major part of my income. There's so much flexibility in this kind of work. Not only can I run the business from pretty much anywhere, but I can also just kind of hop on here and tell you what's going on in my life almost in real time, which can also be so powerful. The content really can and really does shift with what's happening in my real life, and it's a little less difficult than writing. It doesn't take quite the same kind of brain space that writing an article or a blog post would. So I can just record an episode even when my brain is really full with other stuff, because I'm just talking to you, and I appreciate that so much about podcasting and so much about this audience. Okay, I just wanted to say that before I jump into what I've learned about podcasting. Let's get to that. What have I learned about podcasting in my 12 plus years as a podcaster. So the first thing I've learned is that a podcast can be whatever you want it to be. It can be any format, it can be any length, it can be any topic. It always makes me laugh a little bit when people try to make a case that there's a best practice for format or length, because in my experience as a listener and as a creator of podcasts, it's so all over the place. And what's going to work for your podcast is that you create the podcast you want to create, because that's the one that's going to be sustainable enough where you're going to keep showing up for it and build that audience in the first place. And often I think what you want out of a podcast is what is the best kind of podcast to create. I have had super researched interview-based podcasts, and those require a lot of planning time. You have to set up interviews with guests, then you have to actually interview the guests, and that often takes troubleshooting, the tech and things like that, and probably more edits than you'd have to do in a solo podcast or a two-host podcast. And then you've got sound balancing, all that stuff. And then when you actually publish the episode, there's usually a lot of links to track down and things like that. So you may have noticed that for The Tease Made, I've really moved away from that interview approach. Most of these episodes are on the shorter side, and I do a lot more solo episodes than interviews these days. And then you've got The Mom Hour. That has always been a two-host show, and we've actually never done a lot of interviews there. And part of that was an intentional time-saving strategy. We knew that interviews were more time-intensive than we had to give to them at the time we started the show, because we had little kids at the time. But we also realized that the magic of The Mom Hour was really that two-host format. Our listeners are obviously moms. They're often young moms. Moms often feel really isolated or uncertain about their parenting choices. And so listening to two friends talking can be really comforting. And it can also show the listener that you can approach different motherhood issues really differently at times and still maintain your friendship and still be a good mom. And it's all going to be okay. And I think that Sarah's and my chemistry and our genuine friendship has really made that two-host format work really, really well. It's also really important, though, that if you're going to try to do a show with a co-host, that you're sort of on the same page. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the future. Sarah and I got really lucky in each other, and it's not always going to be easy to find a co-host like that. So then for The Tease Made, because this is my newest podcast, I really decided to throw out all the ideas about what I should do. And I just decided to do a podcast that I really wanted to do and let that be my guide. So this podcast, as you found out in the last 20 episodes, it's just much more of a personal journal or even a personal journey in podcast form. That means more solo episodes. And yeah, more solo episodes are more sustainable for me right now than it would be to be trying to set up or go through a lot of interviews right now. Personally, I really like listening to sort of a calming solo podcast format, and I don't find a whole lot of them, especially in the sort of wellness, motherhood, women's lifestyle space. And that's kind of why I landed with the way I'm doing The Tease Made right now. But again, you know, I've dabbled and I've experimented with a lot of different formats. And so who knows what I'll do in the future. And like I said, I've also done podcasts in the past that were almost all interviews. And that can be a really valuable format to the listener. As a listener, I really enjoy a lot of interview podcasts. I also enjoy two-host and solo podcasts. So I think really any format can work if the chemistry is right, if the consistency is there, and if you're showing up and bringing value to the show. Another thing I touched on a minute ago is that a partnership where both partners are on the same page and have similar goals for the podcast can take you so much further than a solo endeavor, but you don't have to. And sometimes it's just easier to kick something out the door on your own. I mentioned that my partnership with Sarah has been amazing. We have learned so much from each other, and it's really been the key to the success of The Mom Hour. But for The Tease Made, solo was the right way to go because I just don't have anyone else in my periphery right now who I saw trying to build that kind of partnership with. And it really takes a lot of time and attention to build that kind of working relationship. And I just don't have the bandwidth for it right now. Going solo can be harder. You're taking on more of the work yourself. But then don't forget that being in a partnership has an emotional labor component too. That's a real thing. So depending on your goals and who you actually know right now that you could partner with, you could be better off either going it alone or even hiring someone to be your co-host on the mic rather than partnering together in a business. Those are two very different things. And I just want to point out that you can have a solo podcast and be running your business as a solo endeavor, but still be hiring out parts or outsourcing or delegating parts of the podcast production to take some of that weight off of you. And that's something I do. I have a sound engineer, Brian. He's amazing. And he works on the Mom Hour too, and has worked on many other projects of mine. And then my production assistant, Sherry, helps me out with things like giving the podcast a close listen and catching edits I missed the first time around and pulling together links for things I've talked about on the show. So you can go it alone, but not be totally alone. Okay, so to kind of recap this first thing that I've learned about podcasting, it's just that it can be anything you want it to be. There are no rules. We are still so early in the podcasting world that things are getting invented. There's so much room for experimentation. And you know, sometimes a podcast can be a temporary project. It does not have to always go the distance. That is totally fine. Maybe you just want to do a deep dive into a certain topic for like 10 episodes and then be done. That's great. There's lots of ways to set that up so that it can continue to be something of value for you and that finds an audience down the road. So really no rules. Podcasts can be anything we want them to be. Okay, friends, you have already heard me talk about my new Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic. I love these versatile, classic, and comfy slip-on shoes, and the Uptown loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which is what I want to tell you about today. Vionic Vitals contains some of Vionic's most versatile daily styles. So if you've been curious about Vionic but are overwhelmed by all the choices, start with the Vitals collection first. The Willa Flat was my very first Vionic style, and I have been in love with it for years. I'm also eyeballing the Chardonnay heeled sandal for summer date nights. Like all of Vionic's footwear, the shoes in the Vionic Vitals line are super comfortable, stable, and supportive with Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology. Go to vionicshoes.com/vitals to find the Vitals collection and use the code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping when you log into your account. That code is good for a one-time use only, so be sure to make the most of it. That's TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com. Okay, so the second thing I've learned about podcasting is that there are a lot of ways to find success in podcasting. And right off the bat, I want to say that if you're listening to this and you're thinking about starting a podcast or you have a podcast and your goal is to monetize it via sponsorships or advertisers and you want to make a significant amount of money from that, that's great. It's also a really big job. At times, it has been much more the full-time job for the Mom Hour for both Sarah and I, more so than coming up with content and recording the podcast itself. So it's really, it can become quite a big deal. And it's okay if that's just not your goal. There are all kinds of other ways a podcast can support your career or your creative pursuit or another business that you're running. And it doesn't necessarily require you to earn money directly from the podcast. So you might want to have a podcast because you want to explore a topic that you're passionate about. Maybe you want to build a community around that topic. Maybe you want to use a podcast to spread the word about other things you're doing. Maybe you've got like a brick and mortar business or a service business or your other creative work. And you can really use a podcast to delve into that material and build an audience or a community around that thing. The whole discussion about monetization reminds me of when blogging was really starting to take off back in the late aughts, I guess. And there was a lot of talk about monetizing, but I would go to these conferences and get frustrated because the panelists and the people asking questions often just seemed to have a really limited view of what that could look like. So I was always like, hey, your blog can support your other writing. It can be a calling card for clients or employers who might find you. It can be a way to promote a business. It can just connect you with people who will eventually buy your book or your course or another product. It can be anything. And that's the same thing with a podcast. It's just content, like an email newsletter or a blog or a social media account even, but I personally think it has a lot more potential to help you connect deeply with an audience than a social media account for sure. Now, in full transparency, the Mom Hour has been a full-time business for me since 2018. So it's been around since 2015, but we really started making what I would consider full-time income 3 years in. And that income source was honestly life-changing for me because at the time that the Mom Hour started to make real money, I was a single mom, recently divorced. I had to dig myself out of a financial hole. And at the time, I really wanted and needed flexible work so that I could be present for my family. I also knew that when I started working on the Teas Made, and that was in late 2023, that I just wanted to set it up really differently because I had a different set of goals. So right now, the Teas Made is fun for me to plan and record and promote, and I'm finding it to be a useful way to explore ideas I want to write about. It's great for connecting with a community, but it's got a very different model from the Mom Hour, and I set out that way, knowing that that would be the case. I do have a few sponsors for the show. You've heard me talk about them, and I adore working with them. But for the most part, the monetization plan or structure for the Teas Made is just less built into the business model than it is for the Mom Hour. I'm more using this place here, like I said, to explore ideas, to build community, to build an audience. Of course, when my book comes out, I will be promoting it on this podcast, but I'm just focusing less on advertisers than I have in other podcasts I've worked on. And that has been a really intentional choice for me. So you can really do it any number of ways. If you're thinking about starting a podcast and you aren't sure if you want to monetize it or how you want to monetize it, I just think it's smart to keep an open mind and consider that a podcast can be a lot of different things. It can have a lot of different goals, and it's up to you to decide what you want it to look like. Okay, number three thing I have learned about podcasting, and this is really a tip for podcasters or aspiring podcasters, and that is to aim for the best possible sound you can get that is still within your budget and the time that you have available. And I do think there are podcasters on both extreme ends of the spectrum. I know people who start off so particular about their sound, and then they make it really cost prohibitive, really time prohibitive to even get an episode out the door. And then there are podcasters on the other end who just sound like they're talking into a tin can on space or something. And as good as their content might be, I just can't bring myself to listen. I do think there's a healthy middle ground and that you can slowly raise the bar for yourself over the years. Definitely that has been the case for the Mom Hour. We made changes slowly as the technology opened up to make that possible. And as our audience grew and the expectations of the audience grew because podcasting was changing, we would make little changes. But we started off in a way that was really achievable for us at the time because we knew we could add on. There are so many tools these days to help you achieve that healthy middle ground without having to have a lot of knowledge. I'd say a decent mic is a really good idea. This doesn't have to be the most expensive mic, but spend a little money on it. Record in a quiet place, and if you have a co-host or guest, invest a little time at the beginning of the recording session to make sure your levels are balanced so you don't have one of you coming in really loud in the guest's ear and the other one is super quiet. And then in the editing process, try to balance those levels too. And that is like the minimum. On top of that, other tweaks you make can be nice. Maybe you'll edit out coughing or edit out sneezing or dogs barking, or maybe you'll just learn smoother ways to transition from one topic to another or to get in and out of ad breaks or to wrap up the show. Those are all things you can learn as you go. So it's okay if the first few episodes are a little clunky. I am actually going to be writing a companion post for my blog at Substack just on this topic, and I will link up some specific tech that I use, including my mics. So definitely check that out. That'll be at theteasmade.com. But again, I just want to say that these changes can happen slowly. So start by investing in the best setup you can get now and still get things out the door, and then make changes as you go. And, you know, one way to figure out what matters is to try listening to a few podcasts and see what stands out to you about their sound. And I'm talking like independent podcasts, not necessarily ones that are being put out by a big studio or a network, but podcasts that are sort of your size and in your genre. And notice if there are things that come up again and again that irritate you, So for me, most of the time when a podcast audio bothers me, it's not that it's not perfect studio quality. It's usually something easier to fix, like the levels are unbalanced or there's a lot of noise interference, like feedback from electronics in the house or humming sounds in the background, things like that. And some of that can be really proactively nipped in the bud right from the get-go. So if you can't pay for editing, it still might be worth doing a one-time consultation with a sound engineer. They can kind of help you troubleshoot some of the stuff and fix the issues right up front so that you don't have to keep dealing with them down the road.
Okay, friends, I got my pair of Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic, and I just had to tell you about them. They're cute and classic and really lightweight, and they do actually pack flat. I am definitely going to be taking these on all my spring travels, and I can see myself wearing them with everything from jeans and trousers to dresses and maybe a little later on shorts. I got them in camel leather, but they come in 12 different colors. The Uptown Loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which features some of their most versatile daily styles. And of course, you know you can count on your Vionics to be super comfortable, stable, and supportive. Use code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That code's good for a one-time use only at vionicshoes.com, and again, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. I'll also have a link to that offer on my shop page, and you can find that in the show notes. Again, the code is TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, at vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, the number four thing I have learned about podcasting, and this is also kind of a tip, and that's that you don't have to do everything. You don't have to do Instagram reels and YouTube and live streams and all the things. You can just put out a podcast. And I know this has gotten really complicated because a lot of podcasters are hitting the ground running with doing tons of like ancillary social content, for example, or also producing a YouTube channel of their podcast. And those are great things. I'm not knocking them at all, but I think one of the reasons the Mom Hour has had the longevity it's had is that Sarah and I have a really simple podcasting setup. It's audio only. We use the same software that we've used forever. We have really streamlined processes. I did get really tempted to go down a more complicated path with The Tease Made and with Mother of Reinvention, which was my last solo project, and kind of played with it, but it was too complicated. I wasn't getting the return on investment by putting that much more extra time into the show. And I knew that I really wanted to do something I could keep doing. So not every add-on I found, and when I say add-on, I mean things like, yeah, going live on YouTube or publishing clips of every episode on Instagram or something like that. They don't always support the goal of your podcast. So if the goal of your podcast or of your creative work as a whole isn't supported by that, you might have to let it go. And ultimately for me right now, I'd rather spend my podcast time creating a podcast and then moving on to other kinds of work that I really want to do, like writing my book or sometimes things that aren't even online at all. So I had to figure out how this podcast could support my goals. And one of the ways to do that was to keep it really simple. So I just want to say there are so many ways to streamline your processes, set up your podcast with simplicity in mind. And I highly recommend that, especially if you're flying solo or if you're trying to juggle a lot of other things alongside your podcast. And I feel like most of us are, right? Okay, number five thing I have learned about podcasting, and this is that I truly believe it's just getting started and that it's here for the long haul. It actually kind of drives me a little crazy when people compare podcasting to like a specific social media platform, like Twitter or Instagram. And, you know, they'll say, oh, that was like a blip and now it's on its way out. But it's really not the same thing. So there's no single entity out there that owns or controls my podcast. I'm not publishing it only on like a proprietary platform. Most of us aren't. I'm making the content. I'm distributing it through whatever services and apps and directories are out there, but the content remains in my control. I can take it with me anywhere I want. And I have this catalog of content that is easily found and listened to by whoever wants to find it and listen to it. And you know, if all of those apps went away tomorrow, I would still be able to find ways to distribute this content to listeners. And I think that's really different from a social media platform. It also makes us a little less susceptible to the ups and downs of trends, which I know can be very fickle. Trends do come and go, and podcasts might be a little less or more exciting to an advertiser or a network at any given moment. But to the listener, I really think this spoken audio medium is always going to be appealing to listeners because it just creates that trust and intimacy that we talked about. So it's really not going anywhere. And it's also not oversaturated. You know, new websites start and succeed all the time. We would never say the internet is too saturated, don't bother. I think it's the same with podcasting. If you have something to say, there is an audience out there for you, and this is a great time to get started. Okay, friends, I'm going to wrap this up now. Like I shared, there's a lot going on in my neck of the woods, but I am so glad I could pop in and share these thoughts with you this week. If you are listening to this and you're an aspiring podcaster, or maybe a podcaster who's wanting to grow their show or running up against transitions in the process, I did want to let you know that I am taking on a limited number of clients who are interested in podcast mentoring. So you'd work with me one-on-one to help develop those goals and those streamlined systems and really get clear about why you're podcasting and how your podcast can support your goals. I've learned so much over the years about how to create a sustainable podcast that serves your goals and your values. And I am here to help you make those decisions about how to streamline your systems and how to choose a format and a structure and a publishing schedule that works for you. You aren't going to find too many people in this space who have been at podcasting longer than me. And you also won't ever find a cheerleader who's more invested in helping you create the podcasting life you want. So if you would be interested in working with me, check out the show notes for this episode and you'll find a link to sign up for a package of sessions, or you can go to theteasemade.com and check out that article I wrote, and there will be links in that article as well. That's all for this episode of The Tease Made. You can find links to the products and other things we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. You can find that by scrolling down below the episode in your podcast app, or you can go to theteasemade.com and find all the episodes, plus resources, links to my favorite teas and books and other products, and so much more. I share new episodes every Thursday, so please follow or subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're in your podcast app, I would love if you'd leave a rating or review. It really helps me out so much. Okay, friends, that's all for now. I will talk to you again very soon.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you're enjoying The Tease Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Tease Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.